This is a show about peace, preserving it, promoting it, and monitoring those who would seek to destroy it. I'm Verna Avery Brown. On Saturday, just 30 hours after the death of Minnesota Senator Paul Wellstone, thousands marched from St. Paul's Cathedral to the steps of the Capitol building in St. Paul, Minnesota. While those who demonstrated had originally planned on commemorating the year anniversary of the passage of the USA Patriot Act and protesting war with Iraq, they also came to remember the legacy of Paul Wellstone. Ann Alquist from Pacifica affiliate KFAI has this report.
Demonstrators sang, wept, and cheered on the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral. Organizer Stephen Boyle addressed the thousands who had originally come to St. Paul to protest war.
And we ask that we dedicate this march and this demonstration in his honor today, along with his wife Sheila, their daughter, Marsha, Mary McAvee, Will McLaughlin, Tom Lockett.
Listing the names of the eight people who died in Friday's plane crash that killed Senator Paul Wellstone, Boyle was looking upon a crowd of anguished faces, some well-known regionally. Minneapolis Mayor R.T. Ryback, State Legislator Phyllis Kahn, and Green Party candidate for U.S. Senate Ray Tricomo. But most were regular folks coming together in the aftermath of unusual circumstances. Children bundled in mittens and scarves clutching peace signs. Men and women, cheeks pinched by the frigid Minnesota air, and their eyes bloodshot from crying and their voices raw from chanting. Boyle was looking on a sea of green placards that have become so familiar in Minnesota, sitting on lawns, in windows, reading simply, Wellstone. Parents Carolyn and Jim arrived on the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral with their young children, with signs bearing anti-war messages as well as homage to the late Senator Paul Wellstone.
The first side says, "Another Mother for Peace." And on the back it says, "No War on Iraq and Rest in Peace, Paul Wellstone."
Ruth Olson, another demonstrator, wasn't new to marching for peace. And although she had already planned on participating, her presence in St. Paul was also to remember Senator Paul Wellstone.
Yes, I think this is a very appropriate way to honor his legacy.
In the days following the senator's death, local and national media have noted that the senator's first vote in Congress echoed his final vote, both resounding and lone opposition to wars. The first one opposing the Gulf War in 1991, following his upset election to U.S. Senate. His last vote in Congress was to oppose the president's anti-war resolution authorizing use of force in Iraq. Kate Haviland, a demonstrator, remembered that at Saturday's march.
I had planned to come here anyway, but the fact that Paul Wellstone died yesterday made me feel it was more important to come out today. I feel like that he took a hard stand. He knew it was hard to come out against the war, and it was an unpopular thing, and maybe it would have cost him an election. I don't think so. But he was willing to take this hard stand. We have to be able to. It is a way to honor Paul to do this work, to stand up for peace.
Following his nay vote in the Senate just 2 weeks ago, Senator Wellstone did feel the repercussions. According to the polls, his popularity grew. And at least one person thinks that his death will inspire people to vote for candidates with the same liberalism. Juan Lopez is the campaign manager for the first Latino candidate in Minnesota running for a county sheriff's seat.
It's unfortunately how this has occurred, but I think the fact that Senator Wellstone perished yesterday, and now that we're talking about his liberal idealism, you know, I think that that's going to impact voters and they're going to recognize that that's not a bad thing.
While Senator Wellstone's death has meant the loss of an anti-war voice in Congress, demonstrators were hopeful that others would rise to carry on his legacy. The Democratic Party in Minnesota is scrambling to find a replacement for the ballot, a replacement to fill Senator Wellstone's progressive shoes in Washington. Rhoda Gilman is the Green Party candidate for lieutenant governor in Minnesota and an anti-war activist since the Vietnam conflict.
Paul's footprints are far too large to fill in the immediate future, but I think it ultimately will be filled. We see thousands of people out here today marching, carrying on his spirit, and leaders will come.
For the moment, those leaders are organizing mass demonstrations in the streets of Minneapolis and St. Paul. In Minneapolis, for Pacifica's Peace Watch, I'm Ann Ahlquist.
Despite bitter cold temperatures, 7,000 people turned out for a rally and march in Seattle this weekend. Crowds came from as far away as the Olympic Peninsula, the San Juan Islands, and even eastern Washington, representing both rural and urban communities. People of all ages marched through the streets holding placards and banners that spelled out their opposition to the Bush administration's plans for war with Iraq. Amashan Toff was there, and he brings us these voices of resistance.
Marching, marching, we are marching for a peaceful world.
John
Gilbert. Thank you. Thank you, my brothers and sisters. I am so proud to be a Seattleite. I'm so proud to be of the Northwest. Because the Northwest has stood up so tall and so strong. When the word goes out that a rally is to be held, the people come and they rally and they find their strength together, because that's what rallies are all about.
This is everybody. This is affecting everybody, and it's time now to take a stand.
People need to see that real people are behind the protests. It's not, the polls are not right. Everybody's not interested in fighting. They're not supporting the government. There are a lot of people who don't want to do this and want to show our feelings.
Rallies are where we come and find out who we are, and how diverse we are, and how many sectors we come from, and how our issues interweave and intertwine to give a whole human agenda that we can talk back to the government with.
I see the current administration, presidential administration, as having its heart set on taking control of the world through force.
The Bush administration scares me for so many reasons. It's not only the war in Iraq. It's what they're doing to civil liberties. It's the secrecy. It just goes on and on and on and on. And we need a regime change here at home.
When the framers of the Constitution wrote the document, they made the first section the Congress, and said the power comes from the people to the Congress. And in the things they said we could do, number 8 was declare war. It is immoral, it is wrong, it is unconstitutional to say to the President of the United States, when you determine that diplomacy has failed, go ahead and start a war. That is wrong. And that's what the Congress did.
International law applies to us as well as other countries. You have to go through some kind of an organization like the United Nations. The nations have to cooperate. We cannot be so arrogant that we go off and do our things alone because we think we're right.
I'm Bob Kerr, and we've been marching against the war since 1960. And still are. I mean, it's so counterproductive. The more they make war against the people, the more terrorism there's going to be in return. So.
We need to look at what terrorism's from. I mean, if we're going to dominate the foods, everything in the world, the waters, come on, they have to have what they need, just as we do.
It's important that youth step forward and take the stand that they're going to have to take over when time comes.
I'm scared for my life in a way, like because they send kids over there to die, American kids, and then they kill Iraqi kids, and it's just kind of, kids need to speak out against that.
I mean, we have virtually no influence on anything that goes on, and we're going to be the first ones to be drafted.
It is not a business agenda. It is not a power agenda. It is a human agenda in which we offer an alternative.
The agenda that might be discussed otherwise is not being discussed. The economy and the homeless people and people that are hungry and all of these things are put on the back burner because a war is consuming all of the space in newspapers and radio.
Look at these wonderful signs. Look at the visibility that is coming throughout this city, throughout this area. No Iraq war is going to be visible everywhere.
I think we should do more of this throughout the country and make some sense and make the people in the whole world understand that by killing more people, innocent people, we're going to cause more terror in the whole world and we're not going to have peace. So it's very important that war is not the answer.
Peace now! Peace now!
In the streets of Seattle, this is Amishan Ta for Pacifica's Peace Watch.
Back in the nation's capital, the Answer Rally was held near the Vietnam War Memorial, symbolically reminding all of a previously unpopular war. It was followed by a march around the White House, then a closing rally again at the Vietnam Memorial. Brent Hessel of WBIX.org Refugees Radio was among the marchers and was deeply impressed by the experience.
As people began arriving at 21st and Constitution Saturday morning, the fog still had not lifted from the top of the Washington Monument. But as the crowd grew to an estimated 100,000, as they lifted their flags for peace, their signs of opposition to the war with Iraq, the sun broke through the fog to shine down on the smiling faces of all ages, of all religions, classes, races, and creeds. People provided information on the war. Radical cheerleaders chanted words of solidarity. The Koreans for Peace played music and danced. The theater of political demonstration brought giant puppets of Iraqi women. People lay in shrouds stating that Iraqi children are not merely collateral damage. People came in from all over, as close as Maryland and New York City, and as far as Kansas, California, Vermont, and South Carolina. Political groups, labor unions, grassroots organizations, and families stood together, asking the world to look at the policies of economics and society which keeps the cycle of violence turning. Asking America to spend its money on education, on jobs and housing, on peace and support, and not on Bush's pursuit of war. The sea of faces stretching out to all corners of the park, the rivers of placards weave through the Vietnam Memorial, around the Washington Monument, along the traffic-lined roads where passers-by express their solidarity through honks and shouts. And all this, all the faces of determined individuals, the words of opposition and peace, the songs of freedom ring out from those sloping lawns for all the world to hear that there is a strong desire for peace and a movement dedicated to achieve it. A movement reminding us that, perhaps, regime change truly does begin at home. And as these same people moved onto Constitution Avenue to continue their slow march to the White House, they brought with them their puppets, their signs, their words of warning, their words of support. They brought with them their smiles and their laughter. They stood shoulder to shoulder, many with tears in their eyes and the words of peace on their lips, as they brought this message of support for the lives of people everywhere to the steps of the White House, where after 90,000 demonstrators had arrived, police diverted the remaining thousands to surrounding streets. But no violence was to be seen. It seemed that the people, as one marcher asserted, might very well flow over the gates and into the building itself to embrace President Bush, to show him a path better suited to the needs of this world. For this was a crowd not of violence, but of guidance, a shining light in what may be a dark future. This is Brent Hessel reporting for Peace Watch.
There were three arrests at that rally. One citizen was arrested for writing on the White House's driveway, "Impeach Bush." Along with a new generation of protesters against war and globalization, there are also new troubadours such as folk singer Stephon Smith. The Village Voice dubbed him as the, quote, heir apparent to Woody Guthrie. His song, "The Bell," accompanied by the legendary Pete Seeger, has become something of an anthem for peace rallies across the country. Stephon spoke with Robert Knight of WBAI at the Pacifica Studios in New York.
You have worked with some people who have deep roots in American music, including Pete Seeger and Mary Harris, Dean Wein, all of whom you worked with on a song called "The Bell." What is "The Bell" tolling about?
the bell tolls the end for all people who make war, on Earth. The few people on this Earth that drive the majority of us to fight their wars for their own private interests. That's what a bell tolls. It's an anti-war song, and I wrote it right after September 11th. It's not only, I wasn't only thinking about America. I was thinking about all war and all countries and all leaders today. I can sing it a cappella if you like, because that's the way I sing it at all the rallies. It goes, "Oh, where are you going?" said the man at his desk. "I'm going to a new world," said the child. And he stood, and he stood, and he stood, and 'twere well that he stood. "I'm going to a new world," said the child, and he stood. "Oh, I'm sounding drums of war," said the man at his desk. "Oh, I will not fight your war," said the child, and he stood. And he stood, and he stood, and 'twere well that he stood. "I will not fight your war," said the child, and he stood. "Oh, but don't you love your country?" said the man at his desk. "Yes, I do, but you don't," said the child, and he stood. And he stood, and he stood, and 'twere well that he stood. "I do, but you don't," said the child, and he stood. "Well, don't you know the truth?" said the man at his desk. "Yes, you lie and call it truth," said the child, and he stood. And he stood, and he stood, and 'twere well that he stood. "You lie and call it truth," said the child, and he stood. "Well, you must be scared to die," said the man at his desk. "No, I'm prepared, and you're scared," said the child, and he stood. And he stood, and he stood, and 'twere well that he stood. "I'm prepared, and you're scared," said the child, and he stood. "Oh, I think I hear a bell," said the man at his desk. "Yes, it's ringing you to hell," said the child, and he stood. And he stood, and he stood, and 'twere well that he stood. "It's ringing you to hell," said the child, and he stood.
I imagine that there's quite a response when you sing that at peace rallies.
I'm very happy to be able to be involved in something that means a lot to me, and I think to a lot of people in the world. It's important that we make a stand.
Have you been to many such events?
Yeah. I mean, I sang at the ones immediately after September 11th, 2001, here in New York, two of them. And then the big one in April in Washington, D.C., at the Washington Monument. There's over 100,000 people there.
The Answer and other groups rallied.
Which footage from that, there's a video for the bell that has footage from that rally in it, as well as previously unseen, actually 8mm footage of September 11th and the priest vigils and stuff at Union Square. Very provocative video that Kurt St. Thomas directed, but there's footage from the rally at the Washington Monument, which is just killer because it's like, it's 100,000 people of all ages and every ethnicity, just like mega Woodstock, except not just, it's like every race and age.
How did you get to know Pete Seeger, and what is it like for you to have been working with him?
Well, first off, it's like a huge honor, man. I mean, he's the man. He's kind of beyond a legend at this point. He's kind of, that guy.
He's a force of human nature.
Yeah, I mean, if not for him, no folk revival. He was a huge force in the civil rights movement. Prior to all of that, in the 40s and 50s, and all kinds of stuff that, I don't know, man, he's one of the greatest heroes I think America's had. That's what I think. I'm highly honored. That's all I can say.
Clearly, he's a great educator. And you yourself are pursuing an education.
Oh, yeah.
In the field of all things, international relations at the music.
Yeah, international affairs and like constitutional law, toward ultimately having an understanding and being able to add a voice to the process of an international judiciary. That is going to be a major battleground for the growing globalization and even the anti-war and everything, that's related to globalization. Movements coming up.
What is the song Merchants of Lies about?
Well, I'll sing it for you if you want.
I'd love you to.
to all you merchants of lies who advertise peace while you bomb from the skies. Your words, they mean nothing. Your money means less. Your pretense of goodwill is misguided at best. Well, your children have left you, and one thing I know is your days are soon to be over. To all you merchants of lies, as big as you are, you'll be brought down to size, who proclaim your mission is democracy, where the poor pay for prison and the rich live for free. Well, even a deaf, dumb, and blind man can see your days are soon to be over. To all you merchants of lies, your ship it is sinking before your own eyes. You short sell the whole world to capitalize and drink up false prophets while rivers run dry. Well, your poets have come to throw off your disguise, and your days are soon to be over. Conjured a phantom of equality while your own republic lives unequally.
Folk singer Stefan Smith, he spoke with WBAI reporter Robert Knight. Mehdi Bray, executive director of the Muslim American Society Freedom Foundation, addressed the Answer Rally in the nation's capital on Saturday. In a style echoing the traditional Baptist cadence, Bray weighed in for the religious community.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, I bring you greetings of peace from America's largest grassroots organization, the Muslim American Society, and its Freedom Foundation component. Assalamu alaikum! Brothers and sisters, as we stand here today, we look over at the Vietnam Memorial. And we remember very, very well. And we say to this administration that we're not going to let you take us back. You know, Dr. King said that there comes a time in everyone's life when silence is betrayal. We will not be silent. We will not allow this war to continue in Iraq. We will not be silent. This is not only an issue of geopolitical significance, it is an issue of moral and religious significance. And we want to say to the Bush administration that from the religious community, you have no authority. You have no authority. Where is this popular deception that for some reason the people are with the administration on this issue? I checked with the National Council of Churches and they said no. I checked with the Catholic bishops and they said no. I checked with the American Friends Society and they said no. I checked with the African Methodist Episcopal Zion Church and they said no. I checked with Reverend Greglin Hagler and the Plymouth Community Church, and I checked with him, and he said that throughout the black church, they're saying No! I checked with many in the Jewish community, Rabbi Lerner, and they're saying no! I checked with the Sikh community, and they're saying no! And so you know something? The people of God are saying no, and George Bush, your arms are too short to box with God. Let me say this. Some people say, oh, Matthew Bray, you better be careful. Some of our so-called Muslim leaders who are still playing footsie with the administration, let me be very, very plain. I don't care if I don't get invited to the White House. Let me say to you that I don't want to go to the White House if we're going to drop bombs on people's houses in Iraq. I don't want to go. I don't want to go. And let me say to you, a war. Yeah, we need a war, but we don't need a war in Iraq. We need a war on poverty. We need a war on health care. We need a war so people can be fully employed in this country. We need a war so we can have a living wage for the people. We need a war to help the sick, the disabled, and the aged. We need a war against the criminal justice system, a system that Ashcroft and them got so the rich get bail and sale and the poor get jailed and hell. We need war on that. So let me just say very clearly that you talk about a regime change, George Bush, but let me tell you, we want a regime change on Pennsylvania Avenue. That's what we want, a regime change. So I said to you, I didn't come here as a doom merchant. I didn't come here with doom and gloom. I'm very optimistic. You know why? Because I read the Constitution this morning, and it didn't say we, George Bush. It said we, the people. We, the people. And we, the people, we will win. We, the people, we will stop this war. We, the people. We, the people, will move this nation from the valleys of destruction and put them on the mountaintop of justice where they can have a clear vista, vision, where they were going to say, I can see clearly now. The rain has gone. All of the dark clouds have disappeared. I can see clearly now. It's going to be a bright, bright, bright sunny day. Thank you, buddy.
Mehdi Bray, Executive Director of the Muslim American Society Freedom Foundation. Pacifica's Peace Watch is produced by Scott Gurian, engineered by Granger Helvey, consultant Larry Binsky and Sam Husseini, editor Reem Kathuda, with assistance from Ron Pinchback of WPFW, Sarah Duran and Floyd Wilson of WBIX.org Refugees Radio, and Alan Bushnell and Chris Strome of the Indy Media Center of Washington, D.C. We have production assistance from Sidrak Franklin of WPFW and web help from Pete Karakis and RadioForAll.net. Copies of this program can be ordered from the Pacifica Radio Archives by calling 1-800-735-0230. That's 1-800-735-0230. Or you can visit the website at www.pacificaarchives.org. I'm Verna Avery Brown.